Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Steve Stone, White Sox TV analyst.
And the pitcher, a 12-game winner already this year, Steve Stone.
Former American League Cy Young Award winner. Over four decades of excellence in the booth. No one breaks down baseball like Stoney.
Well, Lloyd doesn't have a stroke yet, but it only needs one at-bat to come to him. Like that.
Oh, Eloy Jimenez! Welcome back! Hi, Mom! See you later, 5-3!
It's Eloy's night anyway, and you figured he was going to get good pitch to hit. He got a slider up, and I mean, he hit the daylights out of that.
Steve Stone with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Steve Stone joins us now on the Signature Bank Score Hotline. Signature Bank, making commercial banking personal. Steve, good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good. And how about those Bears, huh?
Oh, boy.
Well played, Steve.
Yeah, that's all we... We, you know, Justin Fields was an old shortstop. Should we talk about him in that fashion?
Yeah, well, we get an old shortstop. Elvis Andrews only happens to be a pretty good shortstop, so that's kind of what you got.
I said to David this morning that, you know, I have no idea what's going to happen in the offseason or what how extensive things will get, but I really hope that Jose Abreu, this 8-game, I just would hate to see him leave in this fashion. You know what I mean? I would like him to get kind of a hero send-off if indeed he's done with the White Sox. And he's trying to do his part. He's been a really great servant to the ball club. But goodness gracious, this is awful watching them. Since we said it's a must-win, they got to win this game, they're 0-8.
Well, I can't argue with you there. That's very astute. In fact, I took a couple of games off. I got sick. I had some sort of virus. And I did the first of the Cleveland games, and then I watched the next two on television. And you get a real good sense of where a team is at. I think when you're watching on television, sometimes it's better than actually being there and taking a look at what exactly is going on in the field. But it was very disappointing that first game, and when I missed the next two, and then I came back for the Detroit series, it turned out to be I was the last guy that took that helicopter on the Titanic before they hit the iceberg, because all of a sudden, I mean, this team has gone down and hasn't been able to right the ship yet. So there's never a great ending to a year that is totally as disappointing as this year. But there is one thing that will give the guys who are going to make the decisions a clear blueprint in just exactly what they have to do, and that is you've seen a lot of the things go wrong this year and things that have to be addressed in the off season. And I think one of the things, and we're seeing it on a daily basis, is we need more left-hand hitters. We saw Jake Cave, a left-hand hitter and a middle-of-the-road guy, come through with three hits. He's fairly meaningful for them at this point of the year. We saw what Stephen Kwan did for the Guardians. Leading off, left-hand hitter, playing every day, playing great defense and doing a lot of things like putting the bat on the ball and stealing some bases and all of those things. If you're going to face a preponderance of right-handed starters, and the Sox are, because that division has a couple of lefties, but more times than not, they're righty starters, especially, by the way, with the Guardians. And I'm not sure that that team is going to completely stay together, but they are right-handed starters. You need some left-handed bats. That's one of the things. You cannot return the same exact guys who have not been good defensively the last 3 or 4 years and expect they're going to be good defensively next year. Doesn't work that way. And also, I really enjoy and have enjoyed calling games for Jose Abreu. I think he's one of those guys, when you look at him, is he the most vocal of leaders? Probably not. However, in leading by example, you take a look at that guy and you realize he's the standard bearer. Everybody needs to live up to that. And as we know, this year that really didn't happen. So I'd love to see Jose come back. But if he does, remember something. You have a problem. And that is, already you have a whole lot of guys that should be designated hitters because they can't play defense. You can only have one of those guys. Even with the new rule changes, they're not going to give you three designated hitters. They're only going to give you one. And you cannot go into a championship season with even the semblance of an idea. You're going to play a first baseman in left field and a first baseman in right field and think you're going to have a good defense. That's not going to work out that way. And there's other things. And I think the boys have seen this year, and I'm talking about the guys who are going to make the decisions, they've seen the base running be literally atrocious. They have seen the defense and cutoff throws just time after time after time not being made. So I think when you take a look at this year and you go through everything that happened and you think back to defining moments in this season, you'll know when the Sox did not rise to the occasion more times than not. It was not the starting pitchers. They've been, by and large, pretty good. The back end of the bullpen also has been, by and large, pretty good, although, you know, you get tired out late and you don't get the things you need to get. But additions to this team they have to make, and there's some tough decisions. One of them is Jose Abreu. Another one is Yasmani Grandal. Another one is, what are you going to do with Vaughn and Sheets both? Because Sheets, I think, showed in the limited sample, he's got some left-handed pop, and this is a team that needs that. So the questions are there. They're pretty easy to identify. And then the next question that I would have for our guys is, what are they planning to do about it?
Steve, those are great points. But I think sometimes when you are acknowledging flaws, it's hard to admit to yourself that you were in error in putting the roster together. And I only bring that up because to correct the problems that are obvious and you just identified very well, you've got to acknowledge that you failed putting together the roster in the first place. And I think that takes a lot for any executive. And I just wonder, do you think that the White Sox will have any changes, major changes in their front office that allow for that kind of change to take place? Because I think if they don't, it'd be my opinion that it'd be more difficult to have the kind of upheaval and turn over the roster to the extent you just described.
No, I mean, look, I will agree that there's one inescapable fact. I mean, this doesn't change. It's facts. It's not conjecture. It's not opinion. Sox have won two playoff games since 2005. Two games, no series. So I think in doing what they were doing, I'm not necessarily sure you have to just sweep everything away, because I don't think you do. But I think you have to make some changes, some viable changes to the way they're looking at things. And look, this team was put together as a team that was going to have some speed. You know, when Anderson and Robert are in there on a daily basis, all of a sudden the team looks a whole lot better as far as the speed is concerned. This team went station to station, first to second, second to third, more than any team I've ever seen, because most of the guys on the team couldn't run. I don't think they can go into the next year without that. And as far as willing to make changes, I think if you identify exactly what went wrong, and this team was built to hit the ball out of the ballpark. That was on the mind of both Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams when this season started. You looked at that lineup, the prospective lineup, and you said, well, that lineup is going to hit the ball out of the park. That lineup is going to score a lot of runs via the home run. And then you realize that without taking many walks, and the Sox don't take many walks, then you're going to hit solo home runs, which is okay but not great. You're not going to have that 2 and 3 and grand slam home runs that come about a lot. So I think maybe there's a change that has to be made in evaluating exactly what this team should look like. And then, you know, you got a couple of guys in the minor leagues. I know Montgomery is a while away yet. Colas is knocking at the door. There's a couple of guys, and by the way, he swings the bat from the left side.
Right.
But there's some guys that I'm pretty sure will get a look next year sometime. But the question is, going into next year, choose the amount of money that you want to eat, and then by all means, eat it, and DFA some folks.
Yeah, I think that they're kind of in a really tough situation with that, because you mentioned a couple of guys. you know, Grandal in particular, I don't know how else you'd get rid of him. I don't know that anybody is going to be shopping for him. And I think that you run afoul of all sorts of problems when you think about payroll as opposed to, you know, how to get better as a team, because there are really hard decisions. And you know, people get really frustrated when you have to trade someone that you like because you got to carry the contract of someone that has not performed.
Well, there's a number of things that come into play there, Mully, and that is you've got to know definitively when you make these guys, and not that they're not wealthy enough before they get that first long-term deal, maybe that second long-term deal, but you have to identify exactly what kind of player you are giving a long-term deal to, because there's certain guys I'll use, because I watched him play from the time he got to the Cubs, winning the MVP with the last place team. I'll use Andre Dawson as a reference point, because a lot of our folks listening knew the name of Andre Dawson if they didn't know the man. Great man, no doubt about that. Great player also. But this was a guy, if you gave him $50 or $50 million, he would play the same. He would leave it out there every day, give you everything he had, and he played all the time. And he played on a couple of bad knees that other guys would have certainly been on the IL with, and he did that quite a bit. Yet, again, won the MVP for a last-place team in 87 with the Cubs. There's that type of player. I believe with Jose Abreu, you could also give him $50 or $50 million. He's going to give you everything that he has. You can look at his face during the course of a game and see when he's really hurting, and yet he just keeps going out there. He keeps running. He keeps hitting. I know the power is down this year, but he's been a terrific story for this team. And I don't know what they're going to choose to do with him. But if you do bring him back, it does complicate things with some of the other guys. And you were right, guys, to point out that this is a team probably has four or five designated hitters when you only can use one.
Steve, the other big picture question, obviously, is balancing the health concerns for Tony La Russa with what might be best for this baseball team moving forward. Number one, as his friend, how is Tony? And secondly, if the White Sox do replace their manager, what should they prioritize in that next hire?
Well, look, this is a very difficult thing for me to speculate on, for the simple reason that, number one, I view Tony as a good friend of mine. I got to know him a lot the last offseason doing one of his projects in Las Vegas. It was called it was a leadership council, essentially, Legends and Leaders. And we had some wonderful speakers there, which I got the chance to chair one of these panels. And it was a beautiful weekend. And Tony La Russa is a wonderful man. People don't get to know him. They see what they see. They boo him. They chant fire Tony, all of those things. As a human being, he's one of the top of the line guys. That being said, he's going to be 78 years old here in a couple of days. And 78-year-old with some health challenges makes it very difficult. I don't know what's going to happen going forward. I do know he'll probably have a chance, if he wants to manage again. I don't know if he's going to do that. So let's assume that he's not, again, because I don't know, maybe he will come back and I'll get a chance to spend a little more time with him, but let's assume that he doesn't come back. There are a lot of really good candidates out there, and there's some of the guys that stand out. And one of those guys that a lot of people are going to be looking for is Bruce Bochy. I talked with him during a game, a Triple-A game in Las Vegas. He looked healthy and ready to go. I asked him if he was ready to come back to baseball yet. He said, yeah, I certainly would talk about it, meaning, of course, he was. But that's one of the guys. There's a lot of other guys out there that probably could do the job. But I think one thing, and, you know, I mentioned some other names to people, and one of them keeps coming up is A.J. Pierzynski. But I don't think that the Sox are in a position to, if they're indeed going after a pennant next year, and I think they should be, but if they are, you don't need a first-year manager, I think. I think a first-year manager is going to make all the mistakes that first-year managers make, and if it costs you five or six or seven games, you're probably not going to win. So I think it would be a veteran guy going forward, and, you know, it's hard to conceive. I know Tony has one more year on his contract yet. I don't know what he's going to do. I'm not sure if right now he knows what he's going to do. But priority number one is to get his health squared away so that he can live a very productive life in whatever he chooses, with the understanding that being a manager is very, very stressful. There is no doubt about it. You have to be on each and every day. You get to the park around 12 o'clock in the afternoon for a 7 o'clock game. That's a grind for a younger man. It's a real big grind for an older man, but we'll see what lies ahead.
Steve, I'm curious of your take on Yoan Moncada. Miguel Cairo compared him yesterday to Robinson Cano and said that when he was with the Yankees, everyone thought Cano was too laid back and was lazy, and he really wasn't. It was just the way he played the game. And he compared that with Moncada. Where are they at with Moncada? How disappointing has his career, frankly, been with the White Sox, and what do you do about it?
Well, there's a couple of things that come into play. And number one, the most frustrating thing in this game of baseball, the single most frustrating thing, is unrealized talent. It's leaving some talent on the table when you could have gotten it out on a daily basis. I think if you evaluate Yoan Moncada, the talent has been there for quite some time. He was the number one prospect in baseball, and Boston certainly loved having him around. They realized they needed Chris Sale. He was part of the price for that. So right now I think that there's a lot of the talent of Yoan Moncada left on the table. I'd like to see him play a different brand of baseball. I think one of the testaments to his desire to excel is the fact that he's played a very, very good defensive third base. I mean, this is a guy that has played through a woeful offensive year. And I understand the not hustling and all of those other things that make for Yoan Moncada, but he has a different kind of personality than most. I would like to see him hustle each and every time, but again, that's just me. As far as what you're going to do with him, he was one of the guys you rewarded with a long-term contract. I think the deal was $70 million. And he has not lived up to what they thought he was going to be a couple of years ago. That doesn't mean that he can't live up to that going forward. I don't believe that you can trade Moncada because I don't know what you're going to get in return. I think there are a couple of contracts that you can make adjustments to, i.e. let them walk away, but I don't think his is one of them. And so I think he'd probably like to get more out of himself than he's gotten. At least I would hope so. You have to have a lot of pride to get where he got. As the number one prospect in the game, you also have a lot of talent. And when you can hit from both sides, field the way he fields, and if he decides to run, actually run, then I think you got yourself a valuable player if somebody can get through to him. We need, in this game, you need to bring it on a daily basis. Anything less is unacceptable. And whoever takes over as the manager of this team, whether it's Tony coming back or anybody else you go out there and look for, maybe you're looking for a young but an experienced Latino manager because of the proliferation of Latino players in the White Sox clubhouse, that could very well be a possibility. Again, I don't know. But whoever it is has got to make a decision that there are certain things that are going to be intolerable. One of them is lack of hustle. You don't hustle, I can't take any money from you because you have too much of it anyway, but I can take from you playing time. So if you don't hustle, then you have to sit and watch. Sit and watch somebody else who will hustle play. I think if that attitude is taken across the board, I think it'll be a much more successful year next year.
Would you consider Ozzie Guillen a viable candidate?
No.
Because
no. Now, here's the thing. I love Ozzie. I think he's number one. I think Ozzie is a terrific baseball guy. I think Ozzie is a very funny guy. I think he understands how to put together or manage a winning team as he did in 2005. I don't doubt Ozzie's talent for one second because I think he's one of the most aware and one of the most astute baseball guys around, and he's been that way for quite some time. It allowed him to achieve what he did as a player, later achieve what he did as a coach, and, of course, achieve what he did as a White Sox manager. Having said all of those things, and again, I really enjoy Ozzie, I don't think that he's coming back to this team.
I'm just curious, when you say you don't think he's coming back, do you believe that the next hire, if indeed that happens, as you pointed out, do you believe it will be a kind of family hire, or will they go outside and bring in someone without connections to them?
Yeah, you know, and I know the history of the Sox going after it that way. But my feeling is, look, let's take a look at the last 17 years. Take a look at 2006 on. There were some pretty good teams. There was a whole lot of talent that's run through this organization. And when you take a look and then you say to yourself, okay, so we tried to do it one way and it didn't work. And then we tried to do it modified another way. And it didn't work. And then we tore it down to the studs and rebuilt it And again, it worked only to a certain extent. So you've got to sit and figure out what it is that happened that stopped this team from doing what everybody wanted them to do and many people thought they could do. You look at the reason why, and then you go to change it, because if you bring back the same reasons that got this team where they are right now, it's a self-defeating prophecy. And that's not something that you have a lot of time for at this point. But things move very quickly once this season ends. It's going to end with the Sox not getting into the playoffs, which is terribly disappointing, not only to their fans, but to the front office who put in a lot of time here, and to the players who, to a man, thought this team was good enough to win. Well, here are the facts. It wasn't. And so because it wasn't good enough to win, you got to do something differently.
Great stuff, Steve. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay, boys, have a good rest of the show, and I will be talking to you down the line.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.